Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of July, 2014. I believe today's program will be exceptional. As usual, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker and Matt Bennett, along with Mike Tenura. Our special guest today, as I told you yesterday, would be Scott Irwin about that article he and Daryl Good penned for the Farm Doc Daily website, which calls into question whether this year's deviation on the corn trend will be really, really big to the upside or not. We'll have that discussion with Scott Irwin, and we'll also hear some excerpts, I'll read them for you, from Gina McCarthy's speech today about the Clean Water Act and navigable waters in particular, how it affects agriculture. It all comes up during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers now from Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Settlement prices like this in the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat. We finished lower at down 2 3/4, 536 3/4. The settlement price, September at 548 1/2, 2 3/4 lower. Hard red at 655 1/2, down 5 1/4. Corn pit, July futures, $4.5, 3 1/2 cents lower. September down nickel for the day. It finished at $3.86 1/4. And December corn at $3.92 3/4, down 5 1/4. March futures, 403 3/4, 5 3/4 lower. And the May corn, $4.11 3/4, down 5 3/4. July at 419, down 5 1/2 cents. December next year, $4.26, down 5 3/4. That for the 2015 contract. July soybeans, $13.29 3/4, 4 3/4 lower. August at $12.32 3/4, down 13 3/4. November beans, $10.93, down 10 3/4. And January futures, $11.25 3/4 cents, down 10 1/4 cents. March futures, $11.10 1/4, down 9 1/2. And July of next year at $11.25, down 8 3/4. November beans of 2015, $10.97, 11 1/2 cents lower. Bean meal down 5.20. Bean oil 35 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the August at $148.15. That's down $2.65 for the day. August feeders at $210.60, down a $3 limit. And lean hogs in the August down $1.65 at $127.95. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby contract, $102.93 a barrel, up 64 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.96 2/10 on the wholesale price, up 2 4/10 cents. Ethanol futures trading $2.10 9/10 cents, down 4 1/2 cents. And the spread between the two is 85 3/10 cents wide. That's 6 9/10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.12. That's down 0.5 cents for the day, and diesel fuel at $2.89 9/10, up 2 8/10. Gold futures at $1,339.20 an ounce, up $14.90, and the dollar up 0.135 at 80.126. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. By the way, 79 degrees outside our studios at this point. Should be on our way to 80, so really close. Sunny skies, east-northeast winds at about 6 miles an hour for the afternoon. Tonight, clear, a low of 58, east winds at 6. Friday, a 20% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, those after 1 in the afternoon. Increasing clouds, a high of 81 degrees, and a south-southeast wind at 6 to 10 miles an hour. And Friday night, a 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 66. Saturday, that 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms remains with us, mostly cloudy, a high of 85 degrees on a southerly wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour. It will gust to 15 on Saturday. And then Saturday evening, the rainfall possibly continues at the 50% rate, mostly cloudy and 71, 40% chance on Sunday, mostly cloudy and 84, and Sunday night, a chance of showers and some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 67. We'll go to 83 degrees on Monday with partly sunny skies. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of July, a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Dan Swicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we better take a look through the charts and maybe talk about tomorrow's world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Which place would you like to start?
Both of them are going to be bearish, so it really doesn't make a lot of difference. I just blame it on the Matt Bennett selling those extra bushels. That's what it's all about.
Matt had them stored away down there in the elevator.
Yeah, he had them stored away. He's selling those extra bushels this week. No, just kidding. Chart-wise, Monday's gap that was left because we didn't trade in the overnight, and we had 3 days of bearish pressure building up. So when we did open at 8:30, we opened sharply lower on corn and soybeans. That left a a chart gap not only on daily charts but weekly charts. Mm-hmm. And if you want to view that as a measuring gap, maybe off of the high that we had prior to the report, you can start talking a move down into the 370s. I think if you want to use the June rally that we had as a midpoint, then we could start talking about something a whole lot cheaper. You could probably read a move, I think, in these corn, probably down near the $3 level if we want to go that far. But I think probably 370s is the next stop. If nothing changes, then we're going to do a quick move to 340. And then from that point forward, we'll see how big the crop is. But some chartists, you can read these corn maybe down as low as $3.
Yeah, I saw that on Monday or Tuesday when I came back to work. I was off on Monday, and boy, I didn't mention it on the air, but boy, that looks deep and hard. And I suppose we'll know more from the WASDE reports tomorrow and what USDA thinks about the actual size of the U.S. crop. Generally, they would not change what their feelings are about national average yield, but they may very well this time around.
They could, and they have. They got all of the good to excellent rating levels, which are the best that we've had in a long time, if not the very best for this time of year. The weather pattern has been generally favorable. However, I did catch Daryl and Scott's article that June was not necessarily real favorable toward busting way through the trend line yield like we had in the past. My friend Mike Tuhill, agronomist up in the Bloomington area, he tells me that the Illinois corn crop, he's just been in field after field after field. That's just unreal. And he thinks that the Illinois corn crop will bust 190. And, if that's happening in Iowa and Indiana and all over, well, then you could start talking about, and I think the trade is already wanting to talk about, a national average yield maybe closer to 170 than 165. And that is what's getting this market so bearish, is if something like that would happen, then next year's ending stocks levels are going to go over the 2 billion bushel mark. And that would, that would warrant maybe a move down to $3 if that is the case. But we still have a couple months yet to go before the crop is made and in the bin. There's been a lot of Augustus that has changed the complexion of the crop pretty quickly. So we're not totally through the growing season, but at least from what I can understand what's going on out in the field, we got an awful big crop to come. And if that's the case, the market's probably going to go a whole lot lower than anybody thinks.
Let me ask you a question here real quick, based off a comment you just made, that if we are above $2 billion, that would warrant moving into the down into the $3 level. Well, $3 is one thing, but into the lower $3 level would be a whole different thing. And we're only talking about the difference between one, and I don't know, it's a lot, but we're talking about another half a billion bushels or 500 million. So we're going from what, 1.7? Say we went from 1.7 to 2.2. Does that really, really mean we need to go that deep? That just doesn't seem like it's necessary to me in the cash price.
Well, it may not be necessary. Nothing the market does is really necessary. I mean, when it goes to the extremes, but it does go, it can go to the extremes.
Yeah.
And it'll depend a lot on harvest pressure. Our export program for new crop corn, it is picking up a little bit, but it's nothing to write home about with new crop sales only at a 168 million at this time. I think probably a lot of guys, a lot of our buyers are probably waiting to see how low is before they step up to the plate. I mean, they're hearing the same information that everybody else is hearing, big crop, lower prices, blah, blah, blah. So they're going to stay patient before they come to the table. A hot and dry August, and or maybe an unexpectedly very early frost, the market is on track. I mean, the growing season has been good enough to be on track to produce some pretty big numbers, and we don't have no loan rates, no nothing to stop it. So we're going to go to what we called back in the mid-80s market clearing levels. And whatever market clearing levels are, is where we're going to go to try to become the cheapest supplier of corn to the world, so the world begins to buy our corn rather than corn out of the Black Sea or Argentina corn.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He, of course, is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday, the 10th day of July. Well, just one really important news item for the day. This one relates to the definition of navigable waters under the Clean Water Act, and U.S. EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy's visit yesterday to the Midwest. She made a speech today clarifying U.S. EPA's position, or at least this is what she says it does. Here's an excerpt from that speech, and I'll read it to you. It says, "Yesterday, we heard very clearly some of the concerns about our proposed rule." That would be U.S. EPA's proposed rule. And this is Gina McCarthy in her speech today. "Let me clear up some of that. We heard fears that EPA is regulating groundwater. This is not true. Groundwater regulations do and will fall under the purview of the states. EPA is not regulating all activities in floodplains or every puddle, dry wash, and erosional feature. In fact," Gina McCarthy went on in this excerpt, "we're doing just the opposite. If cattle cross a wet field, let them. That's a normal farming practice, and all normal farming practices are still exempt. The bottom line is, if you didn't need a permit before the proposed rule, you won't need one when it's finalized." You can find a more complete list from Gina McCarthy's speech today, excerpts on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll also find our next little tidbit in the closing market report, a conversation I had this morning on videotape with Scott Irwin about yesterday's release, calling into question whether or not the United States might be in for a really, 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 really big corn crop?
Well, we went back and we wanted to look for basically comparable years where there were very good apparent growing conditions that would generate those what I call super high yield years. And so we thought that 5 was a reasonable target, and there was a little difference depending on whether you defined those deviations in bushel or percentage terms. So that's how we ended up with the 6 years that we did. And we identified those 6 years, and on average, they were about 14 bushels above the trend at that point in time. The years that ended up being selected were 1972, 79, 82, 94, 04, and 09.
I thought 72 was an interesting year, simply because it had the largest percentage deviation. But that was a long time ago. What was it about 72 when you looked at the numbers? Was there anything distinct about that year?
Nothing that was sharply different than the other 5 years that we selected. What was really remarkable is when you look at the data is how consistent the patterns are in terms of summer weather.
In what form?
Basically, you get precipitation on a state average basis. Of course, there's wide variation within a state. But on a state average basis, and we looked at Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa to represent the Corn Belt. And precipitation in June, July, and August, in those 6 really high-yielding years, with just one or two exceptions, was right in what we would think of as the optimal range for precipitation. So we can think of what would be the best possible summer you could think of for growing corn. Basically, it's an inch of rain a week. And that's pretty much what happened approximately in those 6 years. And so you got just the right amount of precipitation. And then you had considerably cooler than average summers, particularly in July and August, July being the silking and reproductive period, but also very importantly, it was cool in August, which meant that you were lengthening out the grain filling period.
Was there much of a difference in how far along the crop might have been in any of those years at different times? So what stage it was in, when it was planted, when it silked?
You know, that surprised us. We took a look at that, Todd, and you can find years like 2009, which was near record late planting in Illinois, yet we still had record high yields that year. And so you saw anything from very late to very early, that it was more dependent on what actually happened in those key 3 summer months.
Okay, so cooler than normal temperatures, which we have, an inch of rain a week. We'll see how that goes for the rest of the season. But I did read that normal to slightly above normal precipitation through the time frame.
Right.
That's the one point where this year, 2014, seems to deviate from those 6 years, because there is a large part of the Midwest, in Iowa, Minnesota in particular, parts of Illinois across the upper northern part of the state, and in Indiana in the northern part, which have had more rainfall than usual.
Exactly, and not just a bit more than normal, truly extreme amounts. The statewide average precipitation in June for Iowa, again, it's a preliminary estimate at this point, was 9.3 inches. And the range that's optimal would be 4 to 4.5 inches. So they got over twice the normal precipitation. And that similar levels were experienced in eastern Nebraska and through much of the corn and soybean growing region of Minnesota and some of Wisconsin. So it was, and even crept into some areas of northern Illinois.
To clarify, for Iowa, not only did they get twice the optimal, but it was actually twice the normal as well. And so in both cases, it was well outside of the range, which would have produced or has produced deviations to the, on the train yield that were the largest on record in history. So when you put all of this into place, what does it tell you about the coming corn crop? For instance, where do we stand on trend yield today? What would the 14 bushels added to that mean? And what do you think it means because we have an outside of the normal precipitation way above the optimum and the average?
Right. We compute that if you just take the 14 bushel deviation in the six previous years, added on to the trend, unconditional trend that we compute, which is about 159.5, you get a 173.6 U.S. average yield. So that's, if you got the weather that was closely following the pattern in those other six high yielding years, that's what you would expect. But the weather so far, as we just discussed, has not followed the script precisely in all areas. And then that's the key that you see when you look at the weather in these 6 years. It's just kind of remarkable how good it is everywhere. And that's what it takes to kind of have those perfect growing seasons. And what we don't know, what we do know is that in the last five decades, we've never had one of those super high yielding U.S. average yields when you had such extreme precipitation in June. Now, that doesn't mean it can't happen, but it would be unprecedented.
And it doesn't matter which of the three I states is out of the norm. Is that what I gathered from the information?
That's right. But particularly, Iowa and Illinois are always key bellwethers for the U.S. national average corn yield. And undoubtedly, Illinois looks great. And the cool weather that we have been experiencing in July looks like we will for at least the next couple weeks. Everything, you know, is coming up aces for Illinois so far. And there's certainly, obviously, areas in Iowa where that's true as well. But agronomists, you know, point out that under such extreme precipitation conditions, there could be questions about root development in the crops, denitrification for corn. And those may not really be fully apparent until much later in the season.
Scott Irwin, of course, is an ag economist at the University of Illinois. He and Daryl Good penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find it there. You can find the full interview with Scott, a videotape, in fact, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett from TGM is on the phone line. Matt, how does your corn look today?
It looks excellent. You know, we've missed a couple of the big rains, I guess. We've gotten a little bit of precipitation here and there, but you know, you don't see any yards that aren't green. I mean, I don't really feel like we're hurting. The cooler temperatures have you know, kind of given us a chance to still basically look excellent, so I don't know that our corn could look much better.
Hey, I've got a question about population in corn. It looks really good, meaning I think everything came up, and I know that it's supposed to perform under those conditions. Are you concerned at all that it might not because it's so thick?
Well, you always have a little bit of that concern, and I think where you're going to run into issues is if you have maybe a combination of some heat, if you get that, you know, along with some dryness. And so, you know, I think most guys right around here, their tiles probably quit running here in the last week to 10 days.
Yeah.
They don't have much moisture, and so they're getting along just fine. But if you have high populations and then you throw
we'll talk
heat
to
on
you
it.
Support
just
for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, this is Illinois Public Media. We'll continue our conversation now with Matt Bennett. Sorry about that, Matt. I knew that underwrite was coming up and didn't get to you fast enough. So tiles have stopped running, and guys know that. They're watching pretty closely, I suppose. They're not worried about denitrification at this point, then, I take it.
You know, locally, I think we had just enough rain, but not too much to where we had a whole lot of denitrification. And I know that a lot of guys were adding, you know, 28 urea some sort of a nitrogen source whenever they were able to before the corn got too tall, and even some guys were whenever it was pretty tall. So I think most guys are sitting pretty good on nitrogen.
And I saw a plane flying yesterday. I assume it was for fungicide, but only one. I don't think there's a lot of disease in the crop at this point either, is there?
You know, there's very few compared to the last few years, and I think it's a direct correlation to the price of corn, to be honest with you. You know, it's pretty tough to ask a guy to spend another 30, 35 bucks an acre.
So it's not that the disease is there or isn't there. It's just that it's too expensive
right.
to put it on.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, basis in your area. What's it look like?
You know, basis is hanging in there. You know, you would think whenever we've gotten killed like we have, we would probably look for some basis pops, but we haven't quite seen it to the extent that I would think. So we've kind of remained steady here in the last week or so. I know regionally there's been some areas that's popped, especially their bean basis up. But, you know, a place that we've been delivering our beans to here this week's been shut down for a couple of days because they've gotten plenty of beans. So I think there's some disparity.
And what are your bids for the dime?
383 for cash corn, 376 for fall, 1292 for cash beans, 1068 for fall, and 493 for cash wheat.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tenor is on the phone line from Chicago, Illinois. He is with T-Storm Weather. Mike, here in the Midwest, the weather has been magnificent. Growing conditions don't appear to be able to get much better than they already are, and crop conditions remain really high. What can you tell me about the two and how they combine?
Well, it is very interesting. If you look at U.S. corn and soybean condition ratings for the current week, right now corn is tied for the fifth best since 1986, and soybeans are tied for number two best since 1986. So we're looking at one of the better growing seasons of the last 29 years if you just look at crop conditions alone. Now, just having perfect knowledge of crop conditions doesn't always exactly reflect what the yields will be later on in the year, so we still have to keep a close eye on the weather. But if you just take a look at the weather over the next 10 to 14 days, it looks like a fairly ideal forecast is coming up. We have a very high probability for an unseasonably cool air mass to dominate the central U.S. next week. That will begin on Monday and then continue right through Friday. We're expecting record temperatures as far as lows go later on next week. We could see temperatures in the 40s and 50s across the northern half of the corn and soybean belt. And although that might sound a little bit scary just because we're only around, say, 15 to 20 degrees above freezing, it's way too early to have any frost. And not only that, this has no implication at all for weather later on in the growing season in September and October. So that doesn't mean anything as far as the chance for frost to either hit early or late. So cool temperatures in July generally correlate to fairly high corn and soybean yields as long as rainfall is adequate. And we do have some pretty decent rainfall coming up, not only over the next couple of days, but all the way through Monday across varying corn and soybean areas. It is a bit difficult to figure out exactly where the heavy rainfall will set up, but it looks to us like the best chance is somewhere in the Interstate 80 corridor from around Omaha, Nebraska, through Chicago and into parts of Indiana. That's where the most likely area for significant rainfall is, but I will just say that almost any location in the Corn Belt has a chance for rain over the next 5 days, and that will be a little bit important because once the cool air mass begins, it does turn unseasonably dry for most of next week, but it turns sunny at the same time along with cool temperatures, so that's not a threatening dryness situation, especially given how much rain we had a few weeks ago.
How is the Delta region of the United States, maybe the southern parts of Illinois, southern Indiana, Missouri, how have they fared this growing season? Oftentimes we talk about the bulk of the Midwest from up upper Ohio through Indiana, the upper two-thirds of Illinois into Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota as the primary corn-growing states. But some of the outside regions do make a big difference from time to time, and the first corn that will be harvested comes from those areas. What does it look like?
It doesn't look too bad there either. There's been significant rainfall, but even if the crop in that region was to be subpar, it will be completely offset by what's happening further to the north.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, and helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.